Good morning, it's lovely to be here with you. Thank you to all those who've taken part in the service so far. Particularly thank you to Diane for all the background work that's gone on to get us to where we are. I needed a lot of help, clearly, to get to where I'm at. So thank you. And that dear lady that led prayers, thank you so much. Bless you for that. So it's amazing to be here on my first visit with you today. I feel very honoured to be able to bring the Word of God. And I want to focus on Jesus this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
That's always a good thing to do, isn't it? From the beginning of Mark's Gospel, as you've already seen, specifically on his mission. You know, it's a mission he invites us all to take part in. So, are you ready to come for an amazing ride?
Yes.
Oh, good, good. There's going to be more interaction this morning. Now, before we read these first few verses of Mark, you will know that prior to Jesus emerging on the scene and the Gospels being written, there'd been a period of silence from God, if you like, and it's known as the intertestamental period, the time between the Old and the New Testaments. And it lasted about 430 years. Remember that number because you're going to get tested later, and there are special biscuits for those that get the answers right. They're bigger and they've got chocolate on them. I am right, aren't I, about that? Go get some biscuits quick. So that's 17 generations of silence. That's a long time, isn't it? You'd have to go back into the 1600s for that one now. Now, most scholars think that Mark's Gospel was the first of the four to be written, probably around AD 65. And we will see that Mark doesn't waste words. Paper or papyrus was expensive in those days, so he squashed it all down into as little as he can. He's keen to get on with the action. So we have nothing about Jesus' birth, his early life, his family or anything. He just gets into the action in its raw, undiluted form. So if you have your Bibles, fine. If not, if all being well, it should come up behind me. Mark 1:1-15. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. As it's written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I doubt that was the height of fashion, was it? He wasn't really a fashionable guy, was he, with his diet or his dress? And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. But as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And we're going to sort of work up to that verse and invite you to take part. And where there was an appeal to help with children, you'll see the end of the sermon ties into where you were appealing this morning. Isn't it wonderful when God brings it all together? We do our best to mess it up, don't we? And God's amazing, isn't he? So Mark's Gospel opens with three interlinked scenes, like a drama, if you will. And it starts with this kind of voice off stage, doesn't it, reading from Scripture. See, Mark wants us to see things from a heavenly perspective rather than the human vantage point. Now, it's important that we keep this link between the Old and the New Testaments, okay? Because here in verses 2 and 3, we actually have the Old Testament scriptural reason behind the importance of John the Baptist. It's echoes from Isaiah, who 700 years BC, so lots of years earlier, we have this reminder of God's plan. Did you know that God has a plan?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good. That's good. And it started long before John appeared on the scene. One commentator says the prophet's hope was not a pipe dream. Their prophecy still rings forth from the Old Testament, and it will be fulfilled by God. If God's spoken a word, it will come to fulfillment, won't it? Agree with that. Mark doesn't make a big deal of John the Baptist, does he? He doesn't waste many words on John the Baptist. Why? Because John is not the main character in this drama, this unfolding drama. He's not the one we're to focus on. Who do we need to focus on? Still begins with J.
Jesus.
Yes, great. I love this. More biscuits for you. Who is the other main character who towers above all others? So that's the first scene, this voice off stage. The second scene is Jesus being baptized. And again, there's this economy of words. We have three verses about Jesus getting baptized, omitting all those qualms that you read in the other Gospels about John saying, do you really want me to baptize you? Is this really quite right? What we do have again is this divine voice declaring Jesus as the Son whom the Father loves. We take this as God's announcement that Jesus has been chosen to rule over his people and therefore assume power as king. If you ever get asked in a quiz, by the way, where does it show the Trinity in the Bible, where could you point people to? This passage. Of course you can, because we have the Father, the Son and the Spirit. Good one for the Jehovah's Witnesses in the knock on your door. Give them a biscuit as well if you want. The starting gun has been fired to this new era. Now, don't be in any doubt about its incredible significance. Little test. How many years between the Old Testament and the New Testament?
430.
Nearly everyone's awake. This is brilliant. We're doing well. The third scene is this. We have Jesus going off into the desert to be tested and tempted. It's interesting to know that the Holy Spirit's descent on Jesus doesn't induce this state of inner tranquility. It's chaos, isn't it? So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, great, but it might induce chaos. And one commentator says, we put one foot forward into our divine calling and all sorts of things get thrown at us. Welcome to the war, which was picked up in the prayers this morning, wasn't it? So if you say, come and fill me with your Holy Spirit, it's not holiday time. It's welcome to the war, isn't it, that is the kingdom of God. So, what have we got? Let's just try and summarise this so far. Mark's gospel is fast-paced and action-packed, that's number one. He wants us to see things in the prologue from a divine perspective, and the focus is on Jesus and his ministry, not on others who are sort of bit part players, as it were. So we're going to move on to these first words that Jesus spoke in Mark's Gospel. They're very, very important. I'm just going to read them to you again. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Show me your good news faces. We need to practice that a bit more, don't we? We'll have to get Jaffa cakes out or something more, like really special biscuits. The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, you will notice time and time again, you've probably already spotted it, as we walk through this gospel, that Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. Every time Jesus teaches a psalm, he said a parable, he says, the kingdom of God is like, pretty much every time, isn't it? The kingdom of God is like, his heart is to teach the kingdom. So the very first words out of Jesus' mouth in the gospel are to do with the kingdom. Do you think then that the kingdom's important in Jesus' teaching and so on? The coming of the kingdom of God is central to the themes of the gospel. The coming of the kingdom of God is the central theme of the gospel. Now, notice Jesus also uses this word time, when the time is right. Whilst Luke fixes the time of Jesus' arrival within the timeline of history, there's more detail in Luke's gospel, Mark is interested in the Kairos time. So there's two Greek words for time. One is chronos, what is the time? I hope the preacher doesn't go on too long. That's probably what you're thinking, isn't it? What is the time? Is it time for biscuits? He keeps mentioning them. And the other word for time is the kairos time, the moment in history, a divine moment. In this first monumental statement, Jesus announces that the time, of waiting, 430 years, 17 generations. It's a lot of great-great-greats if you're talking about your grandparents, isn't it? You just say, there's 17 generations removed. The time is right. This is the climax now of so many of these Old Testament messianic prophecies that you're probably going to read at Christmas, aren't you, in Isaiah and other places. So it's the right time. So in a humble reminder, the one commentator says, when God steps onto the stage of human history, it always comes as a surprise and a scandal to those who feel the vision is limited only to finite human possibilities. When God steps onto the stage of human history, it always comes as a surprise and a scandal to those whose field of vision is limited only to finite human possibilities. Don't be a church that's surprised when God turns up, will you? Be expecting him. Say yes, Lord Joe.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, when God turns up and extends the service beyond 11:45, in power, by his spirit, causing chaos, don't be surprised, will you? Just turn the mic down for the Sunday run. The fact that Jesus has to spend so much time preaching about the kingdom of God suggests that he needs to correct people's understanding and expectations of him as a Messiah time and again. And if you go to the beginning of the book of Acts, they still didn't quite get it. When are you going to get your army ready, Jesus, to beat those Romans up? It's not quite like that. So Jesus still had to correct them even then. And that includes the disciples, the wider followers of Jesus, and those that misunderstood his mission, his plan of salvation. So let's just make a summary moment again. The kingdom of God has come near. Yay! Good news. Show me your good news faces. The kingdom of God is near. Good news. It's not to do with biscuits. The future created by God is no longer a flickering hope light years away. It's become available in the present. It's now. It's real. God had a plan hidden away from humans for centuries that was working itself out despite this intertestamental period of silence. If you need something to hold on to today, you're going through a rough time, hold on to the fact that God has got a plan and it will not be thwarted. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I know we're not Pentecostal, but we can say amen, can't we?
Amen.
Yeah, and we're not Anglicans either, so we can say amen. But we can have interaction, can't we? Now I hear you saying from your seats, Roger, what is the kingdom of God? You were thinking that, weren't you?
Yeah.
We are all together in this, aren't we? Good. What's the kingdom of God, Roger? What are you talking about? That's probably more what you're thinking, isn't it? What else are you talking about? Essentially, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. We've just come to the end of Queen Elizabeth's reign, haven't we, when she sadly died? We're now into King Charles's reign as king. We're now in the time of the rule and reign of God. Now, are you ready for a bit of tension? It is now. The kingdom of God is now. It's been inaugurated by Jesus' earthly ministry. The firing, starting pistols have been fired. And it is not yet. What? I hear you say. It is now and it is not yet.
What?
What? Full consummation of the kingdom is still in the future. So there's a lot of the Bible held in tension, isn't there? The kingdom is now and it is not yet. Now, if you want some, do you want some fancy theological words here?
Go on,
Nick. Oh, go on, Roger. It's a partially realised eschatology.
Ooh!
Yeah? So that simply means it is now, but it is not fully here. It is not yet. Yeah. I read that on Wikipedia. John Wimber says this. He says, the church is the instrument of the kingdom. Guess who the church is?
Us.
Yay! So you, the church, are the instrument of the kingdom. So you're thinking, what's this kingdom of God got to do with me? Everything, says Roger, everything. As disciples, you and I are disciples, we're called to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. So you're not a spectator this morning, you're called to participate and demonstrate the kingdom of God. So that includes healing the sick, casting out demons, leading people to Jesus, praying for people, and all that stuff that you do every day. Yeah? Of course you do, of course you do. Every miraculous act that Jesus demonstrated was proof that the kingdom had come. So Jesus spoke about the kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is like this, and he demonstrated the kingdom. You pick a miracle, and any miracle, that's Jesus demonstrating the kingdom. I love that he raised people from the dead, healed people, set people free, and so on. That's demonstrating the kingdom. So, Christians today, that's you and me, we live in the presence of the future. Does that make sense? We live in the presence of the future. We're between the already and not yet. Okay? It's already, the kingdom is here, and it's not yet here. So the mission of Jesus was to proclaim the rule and reign of the kingdom of God and demonstrate its power and authority over the works of Satan. Yes? We've already had that mentioned today, haven't we? Satan trembles when we pray. Don't you love that? Isn't that an incredible thought? He doesn't tremble when we do lots of other things. When we have our church meetings, he probably laughs, doesn't he? Or is your church not like a lot of other churches when you have church meetings? But you know, when we pray, he trembles. Now, here's where it gets interesting. What's my role in the kingdom of God? I hear you asking.
What's my role in the kingdom?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you for coming today. Come again. This is not dry, airy, sort of dusty theology or history. John Wimber also saw in the ministry of Jesus the challenge for you and me, that's you and me, that's all of us, okay, to get out of the church and into the streets to minister to the lost and hurting. Yeah? Anybody got excited faces for that? To get out of the church, into the streets, to minister to the lost and hurting. In fact, he challenged the church. Sometimes we need to get out of our inward-looking prayer huddles and use the gifts of the Spirit in the marketplace or the schools. Somebody's mentioned schools already. Because it's where the meat of ministry happened. So I've got a question that I don't know the answer to. Here's the question. What does the community around this church need? You don't know either. Jesus, good answer. Thank you for coming. Yeah. The community around this church needs Jesus. The specifics of that, the Stoke Green area, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm hoping that you've got some answers to that. What does the community around this church need? Why are you here? Why do you exist as a church?
I've been prayed again.
This is going well, isn't it?
To serve people.
Well, thank you. Yes. Amen. Now, the specifics of that, of course, you'll be better equipped to answer. But everybody needs to hear about Jesus. Would we agree with that? And I expect at Christmas you're going to be stacking them in, in your Christmas services, that all the community is going to come in and it's going to be fun. And you're going to have mince pies. Yay! So it's going to be fun, isn't it? But I would suggest, in short, this community needs Jesus. It needs good news. We need good news, don't we?
Yes.
Jesus is good news. He brings hope. He brings joy. He brings peace. I hope you agree. So, we're coming down to land now. We're coming into the business end of this. Jesus came onto the scene after years of silence. Okay. Yeah, I like it. To announce that the time is right. Remember, that's not the time is right. It's the Kairos time. It's God moment time. And he said, the kingdom of God is here. This is the time, the kingdom of God. Now, he also invites you and me to be part of ushering this new kingdom. Exciting? Yeah. Scary? A bit daunting? All those things? Yes, use me. I'm scared. Is that all that stuff's kind of going on, especially when Di comes at you with a clipboard. I would be terrified, actually. I would be out the door, down the street. Every one of us has got gifts. Tell me you agree with that.
Yes.
Because you're going to be signed up for stuff at the end, so I'm just checking. You know, there is a clipboard at the door. Every one of us has got gifts. I hope you believe that. I have heard Christians say, I've got no gifts. And you want to be really polite and say, that's actually nonsense, isn't it? You want to be really nice to them and say, you're talking rubbish. You have got gifts. Everyone has got skills, talents, opportunities that we can seize on for the sake of the kingdom. Just a little personal bugbear. Too often in modern day Christianity, we've become passive observers. We go to church and we sort of pick our popcorn and our Coke up and we say, right, I'm Sati, what are you going to do today then? Oh, you're going to perform to us. Wonderful. I'll just sit here and watch. That's not Jesus' idea of the kingdom. We come to church not just to watch or listen. We do come to listen because we come to learn, don't we? But we come to share and partake. I love the fact that different people have got up this morning and shared in this service. Thank you. Sometimes we think the job of telling others is down to paid professionals. Well, look how that goes. I mean, come on. Paid professionals. He just uses big fancy words and talks about the kingdom of God. But you know, that was never the intention, was it? We're all supposed to be partakers. I'm just going to give a little bit of testing. I've got 2 minutes. I volunteer for an organisation called Grandwire. I'm thinking that you probably haven't heard of it. Grandwire, originally an American organisation, it's a charity that tries to reach people with the gospel that wouldn't generally come into church. And it started off with a youth worker in America thinking, this is great, I've got a youth club here, but where are all the kids that wouldn't come normally to church? These were the children of church members. So he began to think, well, where are all the young people today? And he thought, I know, they're on their mobile phones. They're on social media. There's this thing called Instagram. Don't worry if you haven't heard of it, your life is not poorer for it. Trust me. Facebook, X, whoa. You know, he's getting rid of the Snapchat. So he began to have this charity where adverts would be placed in front of people. So somebody would be scrolling on Instagram and an advert would come up and it said, are you struggling with life? Are you lonely? Are you suicidal? Are you desperate? And Jesus cares, and they could press on this advert and they could get some information. And then he trained up volunteers where people could text in and say, I'm really struggling with life. And these were Christian volunteers on the other end. And this started small about 7 or 8 years ago. I read about this at the beginning of 2022, that they needed more volunteers. And I read that in the year 2021, 180,000 people had become Christians through this organisation. 180,000 people in a year. And I said out loud to Sean, I need to be involved in this. I don't know of any other organisation, perhaps with the exception of Billy Graham Crusades back around, that is reaching this number of people. And where the young people are is on their phones. So I trained to be a volunteer coach. You sign on and you take chats that come in because people have pressed on Instagram links and so on. From February 2022 to last weekend, I've led 103 people to faith in Jesus. 103 people in 18 months. I don't want glory for that. I want to give glory to Jesus. I'm going to tell you one story. I was going to tell you two, but I'm just going to tell you one story. Had a young lad come on last summer, and he was from Darwin in Australia. He was 20 years old, and he was a trainee mechanic. So you can imagine, quite a rough lad. And he put on the title of his chat, Dreams of Jesus. I thought, this is interesting. So where are we going to go with this? And he said, look, he said, you're going to think I'm absolutely mad. I said, not yet. That may come, but not yet. And he said, I've no church background. I don't know anything about God. He said, but over the past few months, I've had 3 dreams. And Jesus has been at the bottom of my bed talking to me. Now, there's 2 things you could say. One is get help, isn't it? And the other is grace. So let's talk about this. So I began to share with him the gospel. You know, that we're all sinners, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but that God sent his son Jesus to die for us, and so on and so forth. And that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe it in our hearts, we will be saved. So I went through this little bit of an exchange with him. I said, when you feel ready, you know, you could ask Jesus to come into your life. He said, ready? He said, I know Jesus exists. He's been at the bottom of my bed. And that morning, that day, he gave his life to Jesus. Just at the end, he said, this classic line, he said, I've got these 3 mates that go down to the local church. He said, I haven't dared tell them what's been happening. He said, do you think I should? I said, well, you'll probably find that they've been praying for you. That's just one story. I could go on and on and on. Diane said, if I do, she'll hit me over the head with her tickling stick. So I mustn't. But there's loads of testimony like that. If you've got time to be involved in Gromwire, talk to me at the end. So, members of Stoke Green Baptist Church, I want to invite you to partake and participate in the kingdom of God today. Show me your willingness faces.
Amen.
Yeah? Clipboard. Come on, clipboard, quick. Get them signed up. Now, what I want to say is this. What can I do? Yeah, you're asking, aren't you? What can I do? Let me at it, I hear you say. Well, there may be specific things that God's laid on your heart. That dear lady shared about the need for children's helpers. You will be much poorer as a church if you do not have children in your midst. Pray, cry out to God for the children and the teenagers, because that dear lady's clearly got very few helpers to help her. Could you be the answer to that prayer? That's just one, isn't it? I've just put some suggestions down here. These may resonate with you, one or more may resonate with you, just to get you started. Could you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit to those who you meet this week? Bit of love? Joy? Are you a happy Christian? Are you a joyful Christian? No? Anybody joyful? Yeah. I just want the biscuits, won't you? Just get me to the biscuits. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Could you demonstrate a bit of gentleness, faithfulness, and so on? So it's not difficult, is it? But could you, in your character, demonstrate that to me? Could you show hospitality to a friend, a family member, a neighbour, a colleague? Again, you can fill in the gaps here. This is just a framework, isn't it? Could you offer to take someone out for coffee that's struggling? Could you pop round to somebody's house? That's a deed, isn't it? A kind deed. Could you ask God for an opportunity to share your testimony with someone? Have you got a testimony of God's goodness in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, could you say, Lord, this week, when I go shopping, or when I'm at the bus stop, or when I'm... I wonder if you could give me the opportunity to share my testimony and invite them to the Christmas service at Stoke Green Baptist Church. Or whatever, yes? Could you commit a random act of kindness when you're out and about? Could you pay for someone's coffee or meal or something? That may not be possible for you if money's tight, but could you commit a random act of kindness? Could you pray for someone this week? Could you pray with someone? Do you know someone that's struggling? Is someone coming into your mind right now and you think, I could do that, I could pray with someone? Could you hand out a Bible or a Christian book to bless someone? Just ideas, just thoughts. Could you call someone up this week to encourage them? You've clearly got a family in the church that's got their back against the wall, haven't you? At least one family, there may be more. Could you offer to help the leadership here as they take the church forward? I'm perfectly sure that they would welcome offers of help to ease the load. It's very hard, isn't it, if it's sat on a very few shoulders. Could you do any of those things? Now look, they're just ideas. They're not particularly good ideas. They're just some thoughts as to whether you could help. To summarise all of this as we come into land, could we simply say, here I am, Lord, wholly available to you. Please use me this week. Be warned, that is a dynamite, dangerous prayer. Why? Because God might take you up on your offer. Here I am, Lord, wholly available to you. I didn't mean this, Lord. I didn't want to get in this deep, Lord. And it may end up, now this is a serious situation, it may end up in great excitement. Or it may not. But you know, if you say, Lord, use me this week, you may be up here at the front of church giving testimony next week. There's no chance of that, Roger. Don't you worry about that. So, are you prepared to be used in the kingdom of God? Nicky Gumbel said this recently. The only Bible some people will read is your life. I think that's quite challenging, don't you? What's your life projecting to those around you? Not on a Sunday morning. But, you know, if somebody's reading your life this week, what are they going to see? Anyone else think, I need to think about that for a minute or two before I answer it? May the Lord bless you greatly as a church as you go forward into this next season. Keep Jesus and his kingdom central to everything you do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just briefly pray, and then I will ask Di to lead us in. I think we've got one more song, haven't we? But serving the purpose, then I'll come and pronounce a blessing. Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning. There's been much to think about, much to challenge us with, Lord. Lord, just settle on our hearts by your Spirit that which is especially for us this morning, particularly those 8 suggestions, Lord, that I've put forward, and the dear lady that was sharing about the children as well. Just settle on our hearts, Lord, if there's something that we need to get out of our seat and say, I will do that, I will help. And Father, we know that as we get out of our comfort zone, you're right there with us by your Spirit. So we commit this time that we've spent before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.